1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, I'm not going to do a lot of... Let me say this first of all. Faithfulness Rally people, don't turn me off because not everything I say this morning will be what I said on Saturday morning, but it's the same content. So please, we're reviewing or going back over it on purpose. And I know that not everybody is in that meeting. The title of the message is Loving God in an Orderly Way. Okay, in our theme this year, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And this message is it's a first in a series on Sunday mornings to help us to love God in a way that we believe would be pleasing to Him, and in a real orderly way. And so there'll be a lot said this morning and over the next couple of weeks, but let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Again, the church at Corinth had a lot of problems. It was, of course, a city, a port city that had, just like any large city, the bigger the city, it just seems like the more sin there is. And that's the city of Corinth. And Paul, we have two books or letters to the Corinthian church, but the Bible says there were more letters, they just weren't inspired. And so 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20. And I'm not going to read all the different verses here, but in the Corinthian church, they were having the Lord's Supper. And at the Lord's Supper, they would have like a potluck, and everybody's bringing their food, and then some would bring alcohol, and they would use alcohol as the juice that's not supposed to be fermented. Fermentation is a picture of sin. And so Paul was just in doing all that he could to try to bring some order to many different parts of this church. But look at 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 20. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. And it seems like maybe they were grabbing bologna sandwiches and saying, okay, this is the bread, you know, and this is the picture of Jesus' body. We don't know all the details, but it seemed like they're just bringing food and they're bringing alcohol, and it was just out of order. Out of what class? Out of order, okay? And then he goes on to say, verse 21, for in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. And it just, you could see the lack of order and just the confusion. Verse 22, what, ? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink? He's not saying a potluck is wrong, but the way they were having their church services and the way they were having the Lord's Supper was totally out of order. Or to eat or to drink, or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not. Obviously, there were some people, and it doesn't give the details, that they weren't sharing their food with. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this, I praise you not. Look down to verse 34. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. This is all still in the same context. That ye come not together unto condemnation. Then he says, and the rest will I set in order. In what class? Order when I come. He said, there's this lack of orderliness. You guys are, you know, maybe I'll give you an A- for sincerity, but you have alcohol, you're bringing your, you know, In-N-Out burgers and saying this is the Lord's, this is the bread and so forth. Now look over to 1 Corinthians 14. Just go over a couple chapters. Same church, same book. Now I'm not going to straighten out everybody in the area of tongues. Okay, that's not the purpose of this message. But in this time, they were abusing the gift of tongues, that there was a gift of tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, look at verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm? Now, again, they're talking about their church services. So one would have a psalm and one would just stand up and say, hey, I have a psalm. Or maybe they didn't even get permission. Okay, and by the way, I've been, in my early Christian days, I was in church services like that. Someone says something, someone else, and someone starts crying, and everybody's crying, and boom, 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 and it's like, whew. Oh. And that, by the way, that's God is not the author of confusion. Okay? And so he says one has a psalm. Nothing wrong with a psalm if it's in order. And so he goes on to say, and he said, verse number 26, he said, how is the brother, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation. Oh, I got a revelation in the church. Okay. Hath an interpretation. Then he goes on, he says, let all things be done unto edifying, to lift up, to build up. Look at verse number 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. And look at verse number 40. Let all things be done decently and in what class?
Order.
Father, help us to have hearts that are sincere and that are open and that are wills to love you. We decide to love you. It's not a feely-willy thing. But Lord, then help us to have order. And as we anticipate the greatest year in the history of our church, we pray that you would give us order in the future, in our ministries, in our marriages, and in our families, and in our walk with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want you to turn to another scripture, if you would, please. Titus chapter 1. Titus and Paul is speaking to a young preacher, and obviously there had been a few churches that were started, and they didn't have pastors at that time. And Titus was like Paul's church planning director, if you would. And then so Paul comes to Titus. And look, if you would, to Titus chapter 1. Look at verse 1. Paul, Titus chapter 1, verse number 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause, now he's giving the purpose that he left Titus in Crete. He said, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order. In what class? In order the things that are wanting or the things that are lacking. He said, I need you to bring some order to these new churches that are wanting and ordain elders or pastors in every city, as I have appointed thee. Orderliness is preparing myself and my surroundings so I can achieve the greatest efficiency for God. By the way, sequence, the proper sequence, the word sequence would be, is putting things in proper priorities or people, okay? Every once in a while, I'll tell my children, you know, I'm not the house inspector, but every once in a while, I do for some, I don't know, just different reasons, I peek in the bedroom. How many peek in the bedroom sometimes? Okay? And then I go to the captain of the ship, okay? Or I don't know, the second, I don't know what it is, whoever's second in charge, that's my wife. I say, now, let's work on having a cleanup day, okay? Things have been busy, and let's have a little cleanup day. And then what'll happen is the children, they're getting better at it, they'll clean it up, and I'll look in there, and I'll say, you know what this is? This is an orderly mess. Because what they do is they just pile everything in a neat quarter, but it's a mess. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, your children are the same way. Okay. I thought it was just my little messy little Peabody's, okay? We have a little, it's not a Bible verse, but we say it around here, a place for everything and everything in its what? Place. Okay? And so there's sequence, and I'll talk about that in a minute. So it's not just, oh, this is, you know, put everything straight over here. Wait a minute, it's not even supposed to be there. Okay? For example, and I'm going to give a bunch of different illustrations here to help us. The old timers, okay, they used to use this little phrase, delayed gratification. You say, what's delayed gratification? Save money by. Well, now it's gratification and then go bankrupt, okay? And you say, what is delayed gratification? And by the way, I'm not picking on anybody. And if there's somebody today, some of the best Christians in this church have done this. Probably Charlie did. I don't know. But when I went on vacation, or when I got married and we went on our honeymoon, we went to Catalina Island. You're going, wow, what a bummer. Okay. Now, that's, some of our people go to Hawaii. I'm not against going to Hawaii. Brother Stevenson, I'm waiting for you to offer me your house in Hawaii so I can take my wife to Hawaii. And then it's not just Hawaii. You come back from Hawaii and you have to have a 2-bedroom house because we don't live in apartments. Okay? And then you got to get new furniture because this house is only 3 years old. And old furniture won't look good in a new house. Okay? Well, then you got to get a new refrigerator because why would you get a refrigerator that's used, that's scratched? It doesn't look good with the furniture and the new house. Okay? Now, and I don't, I'm not a very good Christian, no amens, but when we, my first apartment, and I'm glad, my first apartment was a single unit. What do you call it? What do you call those? Studio. The bed came down from the wall. Okay. I don't even think we had furniture. My second was a converted garage. We moved to Florida, Clearwater, Florida. Converted garage. I said, where'd you get your furniture? I'm not embarrassed to say it. It was 27 years ago. My brother-in-law, he said, hey, man, there's this place over here. He had a truck. He had a pickup truck. He said, they throw away their furniture. And I said, good. I didn't have a couch. And I've told the story before. We went and got the couch, put it there. I'll never forget, I'm a Chicago Bear fan. That Sunday afternoon, the Bears, and I'm like, wow, I get to watch the Bears in my new couch. And we put the new couch there. It wasn't new. It was, you know, someone's trash is someone else's treasure. And we sit down, and I'm like, wow, this is great. And then, I don't know, I got up to get a Coca-Cola or something. It was a commercial. And I looked, and my wall was filled with cockroaches. And so that was not, but you say, what's the point? Sequence. Hey, moms and dads, I won't go into all this. Today I'm not teaching on child rearing. Don't spoil your children. You're ruining their future marriage. You spoil your daughter or you spoil your son, they're going to have such high expectations. Then when they get married, they're going to want all these things. What are you going to do for an encore? Okay, what's next? Okay, there's nothing wrong with a big, nice vacation, but you don't need a big, nice vacation when you're 20. Look, you 22-year-old newly married people, when you see Brother Myers and he's going to take his wife to, he's 50. That's not a joke. It's the truth. He's, and we all don't deserve anything, but if anybody deserved it, he deserves it, and his wife deserves it, and they've served the Lord, and they've worked hard, and they've paid their bills, and maybe they've saved a little bit. Oh, man, everybody in the church is going on vacation. You know where you're going on vacation? Belmont Shores. Go fishing on the pier. Go catch some mackerel. Okay? And I'm getting ahead of myself, and anyway, I haven't even started the sermon. Order. Order. What does the judge say? Order in the court. Okay, I remember we went down to the city hall, and the city was saying that Long Beach was against President Bush's what was the Marriage Act, and we personally didn't think the whole city was against the Marriage Act. Was meaning one woman, one man, and that was just the public statement. And we at that time had a gay city councilman, and somehow they snuck it in, and it was just going to be a declaration. We heard about it. Brother Myers first heard about it, I think, and we went down there, and I won't go to all the details again, and we went down there to say, we're not for saying Long Beach is against the Marriage Act. And we had a huge crowd. And I'll never forget, Mayor O'Neill, we had a lady mayor. She's a nice lady. And we had, what was the Catholic city council guy? Nice guy. North Long Beach. Okay, anyway. I forget his name too, and he was going, hey, we're not for this, and blah blah, and then the gay city councilman, and they were, it was very disorderly. Val Lurch, and they were fighting back and forth, and we're like, wow, this is great, this is better than WWF, man. Because Val Lurch, he was sticking up, and we're like, man, this is great. But I don't watch WWF, but brother Myers tells me about it all the time. I never forget. I'm like, what's the mayor? The mayor's in charge here. There needs to be some order. I mean, there was no order there. And Mayor O'Neill, I watched her. She grabbed the gavel, and she said in the mic, she says, I've never used this before. And she's going, boom, 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 order in the hall. I'm like, wow, that was pretty cool. Order. God wants order. By the way, God wants order in our families. He wants order in our church. He wants order in our ministries. He wants order in our marriages. God is simple and orderly. I mentioned... Thanks. We support a missionary. He's a missionary to the Philippines, and he's a scientist. His wife is a medical doctor, the Pushas. And his ministry, part of his ministry is getting into schools in the Philippines, and I think he's in the church planning too, but getting schools and just explaining how that God is such a perfect and orderly God in nature, in biology, and God is a God of order. Very simple, very orderly. Churches, families, and ministries that are orderly, can everybody say orderly? Are much more effective, peaceful, and peaceful for God's glory. By the way, Einstein, the great Baptist hero of the faith, of course, no, he's very intelligent. He said, out of complexity, find simplicity. Someone once said, a teacher takes something that's simple and makes it complicated. A real communicator takes something that's complicated and makes it simple. I have a book on my desk right now. It's called Movements That Change the World. And one of the things that they emphasize in this book, Movements That Change the World, is these churches or these leaders of the past, they walked with God, they got a vision, and then they got a system or they got a plan or they got a method to bring Christ to the world. By the way, the Methodist Church, the Wesleyans, we don't agree with their doctrine by any means, but John Wesley, he used that word methods or Methodist because he saw that God had something for him to do, but he put a plan or he put order. Can everybody say order? Order. I received an email. I think, you know, we all pass emails and goes to this one person and then it goes to this person. I think it was from Karen. She sent it to my son, and my son sent it to me, and it said something like this, why people do not keep their New Year's resolutions, or something like how to make it simple, or that was all in the content of it. It was so good. It was about three paragraphs, and basically said this, if you want to keep your New Year's resolution, it's not by coming to the altar and crying. That's a good start. It's not by making the decision. That's a good start. It's the emotion, then the will. You say, how do you keep your New Year's resolution? You have to put order, or they said a plan or a system to your decision. Orderliness. I mentioned this yesterday also. There's different people groups around the world. There's the Cham people in the villages, the Muslim Cambodian people in Cambodia. There's the Hmong people, the tribal people. A lot of them are in the mountains of Laos. Okay. Now, all kinds of, in the Philippines, different tribal people, okay? There's different people groups. Now, my favorite people group, not in a way of, you know, God sent a vision from heaven, but my favorite people group are the Amish people. How many have ever been to an Amish community? You ever been to an Amish community? You say, why? The Amish have a very simple, now I'm not going there simple, but they have a very simple, orderly life. Matter of fact, they don't just stay, by the way, they maintain, though a lot of their doctrine's off, they keep 80% of their children in their faith. Okay, and a lot of their faith is not right. Okay, it's just off. But you say, when we went to the Amish community a few years ago on vacation, we went to an Amish museum. We got Amish books. We got some DVDs. How do they maintain who they are? They have a very simple plan, and their simple plan is to keep them simple. There's reasons why, and I'm not going this far. There's reasons why they don't have electricity. There's a few days I didn't have electricity on my second floor. I was going crazy. Extension cords down to the bottom floor. I mean, it's just crazy. But there's reasons. They're keeping life simple and orderly. God's order, the sequence and order, as far as the Bible has so much order to it. For example, don't try to defy the way God has created us. And I can go for a long time on that. I can go with God created Adam and Eve. Wasn't Adam and Steve, right? Okay. And when you start getting out of God's order and God's sequence, then you begin to have so many consequences. I've mentioned this before. You go in the nursery, and there's little babies there. The first thing a baby does is crawls. Isn't that a great insight you got in the church this morning? First thing they do is crawl. Now, do you know this? If you take that baby and try to take them out of God's order or God's sequence and try to get them to walk too soon, that child will grow up and often have a learning disorder. Many children, you say, why is that? Because, and I'm not a child development expert, I just read this. Because when they crawl, they learn eye-hand coordination. And that is God's timing or God's sequence in God's order. God's what class? Order. You say, what are you trying to say, Pastor? Order's important. And so here we are, and what we're doing, we're envying this little boy over here because he's my best friend's son, and he's walking early. Don't put that little baby up there and get him, well, I'm going to buy braces. So he's only 6 months. He's not supposed to be walking. And he's supposed to be crawling because in his crawling process, what's happening is he's developing eye-hand coordination. Don't get out of God's order. Don't get out of God's sequence, okay? God made man first, then his wife, okay? And then the babies came next. So our relationship with God is first. Didn't the Bible say, seek first? Okay? God is first. The Bible says God should be preeminent. Jesus is preeminent. What's that mean? First. Then you had Adam and Eve. Our relationship with our spouse, and I'm not saying every time we go home and we say, all right, boys and girls, want to let you know, daddy's first, you or daddy's second, God's first, and you kids are like a distant third. Well, don't do that. I don't even think you have to discuss it. But when you get out of God's order, God's sequence, you're going to have ramifications. You say, why? Because God knows what he's doing. I've told this, it's been several years ago, I haven't told a story in a few years. Well, let me ask you a question. I've had this. Of course, I have 8 children. How many have had your little ones crawl out of their bed and crawl up to your bed? Come on, raise your hand. I have. All right. Okay. Yeah. Actually, last night, my 17-year-old Daniel did that. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, listen. If they're asking you for homework help and they're sleeping in your bed, you better make some changes, okay? It was actually a pastor, but they also had a big ministry for the families. And the family came for counsel, and they said, you know what? Every night, we put our, I don't know, maybe 3-year-old to bed, and every night. By the way, there's no boogeyman, and no, they're not scared, okay? By the way, sometimes children do that because they're scared to death, because the bigger children are telling them spook stories before they go to bed, okay? And so don't do that. But it's like every night, we put them to bed, fine, hug them, pray, kiss them, and then a little later, see, what's that? That's the footsteps. And then, they jump in the bed. And they said, it's every night. And the pastor said, okay, well, and by the way, this is free. You're not supposed to have your babies be sleeping in your bed when they're like 1 or 6 months or 3 months. Is that okay to say that? Thanks. If for anything else, it's not very romantic. But anyway, he said, okay. He said, man, I don't know what to do. And he said this. He said, we've taken our little one and we've gone to like child sleep specialists, and they can't give us the answer on how to stop this, and we don't know what to do. He said, okay, tell me your routine in life. And he says, okay, you know, and they went on and talked to him for a little bit, and he said, your baby's insecure. What do you mean our baby's insecure? Your little one's insecure. Because your little one, when you come home, and he told the whole routine when he came home, the father said, first thing I do when I come home, I say hi to my wife, but I look at my little one, and we hug, and he comes on, and we have our time together. And he said, you got it backwards. He said, when you come home, you're supposed to say hi to your son, and then hug your wife and talk to her. That's the big deal. Because of God's order, God's sequence. That little one needs to see that mom and dad's relationship is right. And that little one, even at 2 or 3 years old, they know it. And he said, you know what you need to do? You need to, tomorrow, you go home, do this for 2 weeks, and then come back and see me. I think it was 2 weeks. He said, every day when you come home, he said, now there's going to be a little drama. But every day when you come home and little, I don't know if it was Lisa or Billy, I can't remember if it was a boy or a girl, but when they come to hug, you say, ah, stop. It's mom and dad's time. By the way, that's what God said, right? Okay. And then you sit down, you talk to your husband, or talk to your husband, talk to your wife, talk to each other, and he might start crying, and he probably will. And then you can give him his time. And then he said, then come back and see me. He says, that's sort of dumb. He said, that's not going to work. He said, do it and come back and see me. And the guy that had the kids kept, open the door, coming in. He said, I'll tell you what, if this works, I'll eat my socks. He said, all right, come back and see me in 2 weeks. So that's what he did. Every day he went home, and when he got home, first day was drama, no doubt. Stop. You're over there. Hi, I love you. You're over there. Come on, Mom. They sit down. They talked. little bit while the baby's, little one, two, three, crying. And then afterwards, you let mom go finish dinner or whatever. And then he'd spend the time with the child. Guess what happened after 2 weeks? No more. He said, oh, man, I can't believe it. I got to go back and tell this guy. First thing he does, by the way, it totally stopped. Totally stopped. So he comes in, and as soon as he walks into this pastor's, I don't know, office or wherever he was, he comes in, and he said, give me the socks. You say, Pastor, what's the point? The point is this. God has order and sequence. God wants us to have, whether it's how we do the Lord's Supper, whether it's our marriage. Listen, folks, we can't pick and choose how our lives are given to order. By the way, Brother Stevenson, you know, he just caused disorder to our church, okay? But you know why? Brother Stevenson, he's come here to bring sequence and order to our construction site. And he has done that. Brought a little disorder to the church, but he's brought order to the construction site. And that is something that is really, really, really important in such a big project. Amen? I can go on and on and on. Look, parents, okay? And this isn't a parenting class. It's just trying to say, folks, you know, I'm going to close the message here in just a few minutes. Look, one of our problems with our marriage, we love each other, but we don't have order. We have sort of chaos in our homes. By the way, do you know, and I'm getting ahead of myself here, do you realize so-called experts say that clutter produces depression? I don't know why I'm depressed. Because your house is a mess. Okay? By the way, I know this. I don't want, and I'm not a real, you know, too orderly and too, you know, I'm not a neat freak. What was that? Remember the Odd Couple? What was the one guy? Felix, Oscar. Who was the clean guy? Felix. I'm not a Felix, you know, where I start, if there's dust. Okay, that's for all you folks that are 45 and over. Okay? But here's the thing. God is a God of order. Those of us that are parents, okay, and we've taught this in church, I haven't taught in a while. It's the funnel principle. You say, what's the funnel principle? Okay? By the way, if you don't do it God's way, you will face the consequences. Say, what's the funnel principle? When they're younger, they have more restraints. You're stricter on them when they're small. And you know what we do? We baby them when they're small, and we have the funnel backwards. We baby them, and we go to the supermarket, and they're three, and they grab the Lifesavers. You go, oh, well, honey, okay. No! You tell them no, and if they give you a little fuss, you bring them in the car. Don't spank them in public. Okay? You want to get thrown in prison. Okay? And by the way, don't spank them in the face. You spank them on the bottom. Right where God's given us a lot of extra fat and a lot of extra muscles. Can't break any bones back there. Okay? You're strict. Okay? Do you know what happens if we do not use, especially so many principles in Proverbs and Ephesians, if we don't use those biblical principles with our children when they're young, guess what happens? Then we have to flip the funnel back, and now what we're doing, we're being super strict on them, and now we have the FBI in our home, the Family Bureau of Investigation. And now I spy on the kids, and we've got to do it. Listen, if you're strict on them and you walk with God when they're smaller, when they're 12 or 13 and 14, you don't need all that. The reason we have to flip the funnel around is because we don't give those spiritual disciplines and we don't understand biblical chastening of our children. Still awake out there? Our culture makes it easy for life to be complicated and lack order and lack simplicity. And I think that was what was going on in the Corinthian church. This was a problem in the Corinthian church. There's so much going on, hustle and bustle, and Corinth was a big metropolitan city. It was very busy and a lot of sin, a lack of disorder, a lack of order was probably brought into the church, as we see here in some of these verses we read. Technology makes it easy to have way too many options for all of us. And those options might not be sinful, but they cause life to be complicated, often disorderly, and lack simplicity. I mentioned this yesterday in Faithfulness Rally. I said, listen, there used to be a day, and I know we'll never get back to this day, but there used to be a day you had God, your family, your church, your King James Bible, your hymnal, and number six was your Pilgrim's Progress. The Christians, most of the Christians had three books. They had their Bible, they had their hymnal, and that's sort of how they came to church. Now we have all different Bibles, we have all different books, we have all different sermons, and by the way, this, I'm not defending myself because we have no problems here, but a typical pastor, he comes in the pulpit, and the people in the pews been listening to this guy, and this guy, and this guy, and now they're being scrutinized, they're bringing all kinds of disorder in the church, there's disorder in the ministry, and then there's disorder in family, it's too complicated, and now we have, and then off the church, and even the spiritual part, and now we're getting online, and there's a pop-up, and hey, this is how you can be Hercules in 5 days, and this is how you can have a perfect figure in 2 weeks, and this is how you can live to be 150, and we're doing this, and man, I get tired just talking about it. That's not simplicity. Used to be a day where there's no radio preachers, no TV preachers, very few conferences, no internet preachers, no daily email devotions. And by the way, I get some, and I get them. But you say, what does it do? I think it helps some, but I think one thing it does, it makes life maybe a little bit too complicated. Still awake out there? This is not, you know, no one's going to fall down and, oh, wow, great. I just, to be quite frank, our families are too complicated. There's too much going on. And by the way, the premise of this message, to help honor God and love God and to help you, but it's also to help our church in 2013 because, you know, some things I mentioned on Thursday night, we've been real busy planning churches and we've sent missionaries and so many different things. We have to, there's been a little clutter, not for bad reasons. It's like having babies. You know, if you have twins or if you have your first baby, there's clutter in the house. So what we need to do, we need to declutter our lives spiritually, declutter our lives in relationally, and declutter our lives in many different ways. Now, let's pray and seek God to make our lives, our families, our church, our ministries more orderly, more simple for God and His glory in 2013. That's the whole message. I have a series. It's called the Entrepreneurial Boot Camp. I've mentioned it before. And what it is, it's a CD series just about these different businessmen and different these really strong families. And they said, you know what? I was going... Bob, he's one of our deaf guys. He's not bringing disorder, okay? He said, one guy was saying, I was going to CEO of a company making a lot of money. And then he just begins to cry. He said, I was succeeding in the workplace, but I was not succeeding with God. I was not succeeding with my marriage. I was not succeeding with my children. Definitely not succeeding in ministry. And he said, you know what I did? I resigned and started my own little business so that there could be more order in my family, more order in my walk with God. And so let's seek to have more order. Many of our walks with God are struggling because we lack simplicity and order. Bali, be careful. I'm a reader. I'm an avid reader. I'm reading all the time. But be careful about getting too much information to where you're overloaded and you don't even know what to do because there's so much. Okay? God is simple. Love Him with all your heart, love him with all your mind, love him with all your soul, love him with all your strength, and love your neighbors yourself. What we want to do as a church is we want to have an orderly way to help you to do that. And I think right now, in some sense, this might be a little complicated, but we're going to make it very, very orderly and very simple. Many marriages are struggling because of a lack of order in the home. years ago, when I was in Bible college, there's certain sermons that I remember. I just remember. And this was probably 28, 29 years ago. And it was one of those sermons I'll never forget. I'll never forget the title. I'll never forget the content. I'll never forget the direction of the message. And the title of the message was this: Your Problem is an Organizational Problem. Now, when I heard the title, I'm going, huh? By the time the message was over, and by the way, it was Brother Hiles years ago, and he counseled hundreds of people a month. I want to say it was like 136 people a week, counseling and marriage counseling and all different counseling. And he said this. It was either 8 or 9 out of 10. I can't remember the exact, but he said, most of my counseling appointments are not spiritual problems necessarily, though we would say at the root of most all of our problems are a spiritual problem. He said, most of my counselings are not really love. My marriage counseling, you know, here's a husband and wife, and, you know, they're trying to fix this, and most of them are not love problems. And truth is, sin, you know, sneaks in, and we all miss the mark, but most of them are not really sin problems. He said, you know what? Most of the problems that I counsel with, most all of them are organizational problems. Here's a husband. He says, I love my wife. And the wife says, no, he doesn't. And she says, by the way, wives, two things. Number one, my husband doesn't communicate. Number two, he doesn't give me enough time. And all the wives said, amen. Or they say this, he doesn't talk. He doesn't talk. A husband, this is the way we talk. We go home, we get the newspaper, and we just answer questions. Yes. No. Yes. Next week. That's it. Okay. Man, I have 3 girls and 1 wife. Woo! We get in the car. Every once in a while, I want to say, hold up. 20-second timeout. Can I breathe? But you know what? They want to communicate with their dad. They want to communicate. Man, this morning, now my wife is sort of shy. She's not real outgoing. But when she's at home, there's a lot of talking going on. There's a lot more listening on my part. And by the way, men, listen. And don't listen and then she asks you, what did I say? His left ear has been giving me some problems lately. It's called lying. I'll promise you, some of us, if we'd go home, you say, well, why doesn't he spend more time with me? It doesn't mean he doesn't love you. It doesn't mean that he loves something or somebody. I'll tell you why. He doesn't have a plan to do it. If we do everything spontaneously, we just do everything, well, you know, I just trust the Lord. Don't do that. Now, I spend time with my wife, but one thing I do, I would say 48 weeks out of the year, one time I don't is candy sale time, and it's your fault, okay? We have a date night, date day. You say, what do? We go out to eat. You say, what do? We just go out. Oh, date, where do you take her? Special place, McDonald's. No, we don't go to McDonald's. Okay. We'll go to maybe Sizzler. We'll go to the, what's it called, Soup Plantation? Soup Plantation. And, you know, she might, I'm not, by the way, date, is it 7? It's not 7 hours. It's not the whole day. But you know what? My wife knows, and I'm with her a lot of other times, But she knows, she says she has my undivided attention. You say, what is that? That's orderliness. You say, Pastor, what family altar, what is that? I'll tell you what family altar is. Family altar, we sit down, we read the Bible together, and then we take a blessing, we take a prayer request. Okay? But you know what it really is? It's an orderly way to keep us all going in the same direction. Sometimes I will have a little, my mother was dying. You know when someone's dying or there's tragedy, it's almost like there's a part of us that want to act like it's not there. Hey, dads, we're leaders. This is a time to teach our children about life and let them know what's going on in a fatherly way. That's what we do at Family Altar. Sometimes it's not reading a chapter in Proverbs. It's just, it's an orderly way to keep us all on the same page. Oh, Pastor, your kids are here for church and everything. I know that, but this is a little, it's just a good sequence. Pastor, what's the message? Let's have order in our homes. Let's have order in our marriages. Let's have order with our children. Let's have order in our ministries. And by the way, I'm going to talk more about that. This is just an introductory message. We want to have more order in our ministries. For the glory of God. Amen. Let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed.